And I've noticed that, like, I spend a lot of my time fighting stuff that God is actually sending into my life. I spend a lot of my time fighting against people that I'm not really mad at. It's really not them. Tell the person next to you, it's not you. It's me. It's me. I'm a perfectionist. And so sometimes when things aren't just like I want them to be, or here's what really happens. It really happens with my expectation. Put that word up there. Because when I expect it to be one way and it's the other, like when I went off on my dad a few years ago, it was because I rented him a house. I moved him and my mom to Charlotte. I didn't move him. I hired movers and then they got fired because my dad was crazy. And it was so funny. It really wasn't funny. It's funny now. Can we laugh about it? Okay. But the day I went to see him, and the story has a happy ending, and we, you know, ended up being together and it was good and all that. But in between, remember, Naaman gets healed at the end of this story, but there's some stuff in the middle that I want to talk to you about. Because in the middle of that whole messy situation with my dad, I remember going over to check on him one day, and I was so proud of the house that Holly had found that we rented for them, and my mom liked it, and she was happy. And my dad, the first thing he said when I walked through the door, he said, "This ain't gonna work, Bo." And I know, honor your father and mother in the Lord. I know that Bible verse. I promise you, I know it. I even know that honor is kavod in Hebrew, and it can also be translated glory and weight. But the only thing I wanted in that moment, I'm going to just be honest with you. I don't like to be disrespected. And it felt disrespectful to me. And so I went off. And it really wasn't what he said, because really what he wanted was just a few small tweaks. But I couldn't hear that anymore, you know? Because my expectation was that he was going to meet me at the door and give me a big old hug and say, "My son, in whom I am well pleased." And the dove would descend. But he didn't read my script. What do you do when people don't read your script? Meet your expectation. And here's where the story gets good, because I want you to notice that the same event that triggered the king and made him go into fear mode, which is usually what's happening when we're lashing out or withdrawing, because not everybody fights outwardly. Some of us bottle it up inwardly, and then we never go off. One day we just tap out. And you wonder, how did they drop like that? Well, it's usually a series of unmet expectations. In this case, the king of Israel, Jehoash, he's traumatized to the point that he thinks that everything is a fight. It says it in the text. See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. That's verse 7. See how they're looking at me? See, they didn't even wave at me. See, I told, this is a southern thing. You're supposed to wave at people when you drive by them. The town I grew up in, you waved at everybody. And the first time that we were driving through the neighborhood and Holly didn't wave at people, I corrected her. I was like, "What is wrong with you?" But she's not from Monk's Corner. She's from Miami. And it's a different culture. It's an inferior culture of rudeness. And so any time that you've been used to in your life, you've been used to fighting, if life has really been a fight for you, if you've had to fight for your mental health, or you've had to fight for your emotional health, or if you've had to fight through issues of bitterness and forgiveness because of abuse, if you've had to, you know, fight for your own and fight to make it, or if you had to fight your own family, when you've had to fight over and over again, everything looks like a fight. Everything looks like a threat. Everything sounds like an insult. Every time somebody doesn't check on you, it feels like abandonment. It's the trauma that's being triggered. But what's encouraging to me, and what I got up here to tell you about today, because this is pretty depressing so far, but the same stimulus that triggered fear in the king's heart triggered faith in Elisha's. The Bible says in verse 8, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Now watch this. The king said, "Who do you think I am? You think I'm a healer?" Elisha said, "I know God is a healer. So watch this. Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. This man said, where you see opposition, I see opportunity. And the same thing that triggered you to tear your robes and freak out and fall down in fear triggered Elisha to rise up in faith. Elisha said, send him to me because the word of God is with me. Now, Elisha has an experience to build this expectation on. Elisha has healed the waters at Jericho. Elisha has multiplied the widow's oil. Elisha has spoken to barren wombs, and when that child died, spoke life and it resurrected from the dead. Elisha has dug ditches in dry valleys and seen God bring water from the direction of Edom. Elisha has seen God do things that only God can do. And so when an impossible situation that is beyond him shows up, Elisha knows what to do. Bring him here to me. I got something for Naaman. I heal lepers for breakfast. Bring him to me, and he will know not how great I am, but how great God is. And so, watch verse 9. I love this story. Naaman went with his horses and chariots and his expectations and his leprosy and his greatness and his butt, and he brought it all because he wanted to be healed. I know you want to be healed of something today, even though you've been covering it up. And I know you use your charisma to cover your cracks. And I know that nobody knows how dark the thoughts can really get for you sometime. But I've been doing this too long to sit there and preach to your armor. Because a business leader walked up to me and told me that he had to kick his teenager out of his house. He said, we almost got in a fist fight. He said, I swung at him and missed. Now I realize this has gone way too far. And the man had on khakis while he was telling me. Pleated khakis. Double pleated khakis. No tattoos. But didn't look like the kind of guy that would swing on his kid, but I don't even really think you've seen your own butt until you've been through certain things. And then the weird thing is we all have short-term memory loss. If we have one devotion and read our Bible one morning, now we start judging other people when they flip out. And so Naaman is on the verge of something. Now, he traveled a long way to get here. It's like a 90-mile trip. And he's got a big crew with him, and he needs a miracle. And we admire him because he went. I do, at least. I think to even get to this point takes faith. And maybe one of the reasons I don't put a lot of condemnation, or I try not to, in my preaching is because I'm pretty proud of you who decided to show up anyway. I know how many things could have kept you from being here. And I'm pretty proud that you made the decision to bring your butt to church. Give yourself a hand for bringing your butt to church. And if you're watching online, you don't get to clap. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger. Oh, this is not going to go well, because Naaman is a great man. And when a great man comes to your doorstep, you give him a great greeting. And you welcome him by name, man. I'm going to retire. This is my last sermon. Y'all enjoy it. He sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan. In the what? In the Jordan. You mean that muddy little excuse for a river that y'all like to celebrate so much in this nation of Israel, which I don't even like anyway? And he didn't even come to the door, and Naaman went off. No, he literally went off. Not in the figurative sense. He literally decided, I would rather go home with my leprosy. I'd rather go home and my arm fall off. I would rather die than be disrespected like this. And when he heard this ridiculous command, he says something very important in the instruction. It was a simple instruction. It was a stupid instruction. It didn't make much sense, just like it doesn't make much sense when God tells you to forgive somebody so that you can be forgiven. And you want to say, well, God, if they ask for it, I'll give it. And God says to you, I'm not talking about what they deserve. I'm talking about your deliverance. I'm talking about your clean heart. I'm talking about your clear mind. So if you want to get cleansed, I need you to do something that makes no sense, because there is no cure for leprosy. It can't be cured. It's got to be cleansed. And it can only be cleansed if you obey this command. Amen. Yeah. And verse 11 starts so sad. But there it is again. I'm going to preach a whole series one day on the butts of the Bible. But Naaman, stand in front of a miracle. The guys around him are like, okay, that's all we got to do. Naaman, you can keep the 75 pounds of silver and the 75 pounds of gold, and you can pass out the 10 sets of clothing, and we could go home. We could start back home. That's easy. Somebody start running the water. Naaman, you want it hot? You want it extra hot? Naaman, you want a rubber ducky? Get the towel ready. You want some sunscreen? But it's a funny thing about pride. It's a funny thing about the small things. It's a funny thing about something that seems beneath you. Remember, the king was triggered because of something that seemed beyond him. Am I God? And Naaman is triggered because of something that seems beneath me. You want me to do what? I'm not doing that. Nope. See, because when your heart is filled with pride, you try to write your own prescriptions. This is how I want God to bless me. This is how I want God to come through. This is how I want God to heal me. This is how I want him to respond. This is the opportunity I want. This is how I pray. So Naaman went away angry. Said, this is two very dangerous words, by the way. This is maybe the two most dangerous words for you to interpret your life through. I thought. Maybe those two words are the two words that are standing between me and peace today. I thought my dad was going to be grateful for the house. Now he's telling me about getting somebody over here to fix the... I thought you'd say thank you. I thought you'd grow up and play piano and put you in lessons. I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God. See, Naaman had it all planned out, because that's what great men do. Great men make great plans. And when those plans don't go the way that they were supposed to go, great men go off. Great women go off. Because I had this family picture. Here's where you were supposed to stand, and here's where you were supposed to smile, and here's where you were supposed, and here's where you were. I thought, could those two words be standing between you and healing today? I thought. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he'd come out to me. I thought he would, because I had this worked out. He comes to me, and then I give him the gifts, and I get the healing. This is how this works. Not this time, Naaman. Not this time. This transformation is not going to happen on your terms. God's not going to do it like you expected. He's not going to be held hostage to what you thought. So I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand. See, he's supposed to wave. He's supposed to wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. He doesn't like the place God told him to get healed. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? I didn't have to come here for this. Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. And one of his servants, this guy needs a raise, by the way, went to him. Notice how beautiful the story is told. It's chronicled like this. Naaman went to his master and said, I need permission to go to Israel. So he went to the king, and the king said, I can't do it. Then he went to Elisha with his chariots and horses. And now Naaman went off in a rage, and he's about to miss the opportunity to be healed because he is going off. And here's why he went off: because he didn't go in. He went off because he made his decision about what he thought about it, but he didn't go in. You know, I've noticed something about myself. When I don't go into the presence of God, when I don't go in and ask God, what are you doing in this situation? When I don't go into myself and seek for the Spirit of God to lead me, I start going off, and then I spend the next week fixing stuff that if I would have taken one moment and worshiped, if I would have taken one moment and sought God's wisdom, if I would have taken one moment and said, you know what? I don't want to fight about this. I don't want to be right. I want to be healed. I don't want to prove my own power. I want to receive your power, God. And what happens next is really beautiful, because some of you are going to do it today. Stand with me. The servant came to Naaman and said something that I think is very prophetic, and I hope you can hear it on the level which it is intended. The servant chased Naaman down. Naaman is on his way back to Damascus. He's going to walk 90 miles back home with leprosy still on his skin because of something that seemed too small and insignificant for a great man like him to do. He's going to spend the rest of his life with this disease because he didn't want to do what he was told to do. And the servant said, hey, man, sir, Naaman, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? Well, of course I would, because I'm a great man. Well, if you're a great man, how much more should you be able to do a small thing? So when he tells you, wash and be cleansed, why not give it a try? You know, you've been fighting so hard justifying your side of the story and justifying yourself and why it's all right and why it's okay. But hey, man, why not? If we already came 90 miles, if we already came this far, and that prophet is telling you that if you dip in the Jordan, you can be cleansed, isn't it worth a try? You already went to your master and got the letter. You already went with your horses and chariots. Now you're going off in a rage, but verse 14 is the happy ending. And I believe it's a new beginning for many of us today. The Bible says, so he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan. I'm glad after Naaman went off, he went in. And he went in not just once, not just twice, not just three times, not just four times, not just five times, not just six times, but all seven. Often when you're in the process of obeying God, you see no immediate effects of change. It's not like your skin gets healed a little bit with every dip. Woo. 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 You got to have the faith to go through the motions. Even when you see no evidence. Who am I talking to? You got to have the faith to go down and pray again. To lift up your hands in worship and say, I don't feel a thing right now, but God is with me and God is for me, and who can be against me? And I will not fear, though a host of enemies encamps about me. I will not be afraid. The Lord is my helper. I lift my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.